Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, stunt journalist A.J. Jacobs' two-year quest to try out every workout, diet, and health craze. We'll see how he did. Plus, summer camp comes to New Hampshire's prisons. A new program offers limited activities for kids and their incarcerated fathers. And a look at how climate change strikes the elderly. But first, a democratic makeover for Myanmar's ruling class. Australia today announced that it is relaxing political sanctions against the country formerly known as Burma. U.S. and England will soon follow suit, all responding to growing political reforms after decades of military rule and political oppression. Meanwhile, crony capitalists that profited under the military regime are rebranding their images in an attempt to maintain their wealth and their influence. Jason Zepp is Southeast Asia Bureau Chief for Reuters, where we found his article, Myanmar Inc. He joins us now from Singapore, where it is well past midnight. So, Jason, I can't thank you enough for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
How many families make up this crony capitalist clique in Myanmar?
There are about 20 families. It's a very small group with very close connections to the former military rulers. I mean, there are other businessmen who have who do favors occasionally for the former regime, but there's about a clique of about 20 families who enjoyed sort of special sort of favors, in a sense, business favors and close connections to the regime repeatedly over many years. So it's really a very small group.
So have they been affected personally by sanctions? They just made a lot of money?
Well, they did profit for many years. I mean, it's very clear that, you know, they enjoyed sort of fairly unfettered access to the economy. You know, Western sanctions basically kind of obliterated their competition in a sense. You know, for many years, if you were Burmese and anything that you needed, from toothpaste to shoes, most likely it would be produced by a business with links to the cronies. So, you know, for many years, they really sort of enjoyed a pretty sort of pretty amazing economy that they could really carve up themselves. The military who ran the country were pretty much absolutely horrible at managing the economy. So if they needed something done, they would call in the cronies. The cronies built cities, they built ports, they built hydro dams, they mined for gems. And then in 2010, they basically hit the jackpot. The regime sold about 300 state assets, the biggest privatization in Myanmar's history. On the block were airports, an airline, gas stations, factories, buildings, banks. And these really precious assets went mostly into the hands of the cronies. But they also, you know, on another level, they did suffer a little bit. When you really scratch below the surface and you talk to the families, you realize that the children were pretty much banned from going to many parts of the world. They were blocked from going to elite schools. They couldn't go to universities in the U.S., Europe, or Australia, or Canada. And so the families did feel like they were being restricted. These cronies did watch their country basically become a bit of a colony, an economic colony of China. That was, you know, the Myanmar did do business with other countries, namely, you know, primarily China, India, Southeast Asia, and that's where the money came from. But, you know, in many ways, these guys wanted to do business with the West, ultimately.
Well, you do write about a man named Teza. Washington called him a notorious henchman and arms dealer, and he's pretty much the regime's top crony. How is his family trying to reverse their image as profiteering from sanctions in this newer economy?
I mean, there's a common theme with these tycoons, these connected business families. Many are investing in philanthropy or maneuvering to ally themselves with the pro-democracy icon Aung San Suu Kyi. I mean, those are two very obvious steps that they've been doing over the past couple of years. Teza, for example, has a foundation that has invested heavily in schools and roads and hospitals in the far northwest of the country. Many also own soccer teams, which are very popular in Myanmar. Teza, for example, owns Yangon United. But it'll be very hard to change the perception that they profited from sanctions. Everyone in Yangon, the capital, or the commercial capital, knows Tezar's house. It's the one with the Lamborghini parked in the driveway, you know, in a very poor country. So no matter what they do, in some ways, it's going to be very hard to completely change their image.
We're talking about efforts by Myanmar's wealthy elite to remake their image as the country edges towards democracy. Jason Zepp is with us. He's Southeast Bureau Chief for Reuters, and he's speaking to us from Singapore. Well, Aung San Suu Kyi, of course, the Nobel Peace Prize laureate, freed after many years of being under house arrest, now a seat in parliament, as part of her opposition party on April 1st of this year. Now, her story is the recent subject of a biopic directed by Luc Besson. This is called The Lady. Here's just a clip from the trailer.
As a child, she witnessed history.
Violence has erupted on the streets of Rangoon.
As a mother, she was devoted to family.
How long are you going to be away?
A week, or maybe two.
But when her country demanded freedom...
You are the only person who can lead Burma into democracy now.
She became its greatest hope.
Your father fought and won independence for Burma. Here's an opportunity to finish what he began.
Well, I guess that's the Hollywood version of Aung San Suu Kyi. Some of the Myanmar cronies, as you mentioned, are kind of cozying up to her, maybe a little bit of whitewashing on their part. But now some of the people who were on the opposition are accusing her of selling out. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. You know, she is becoming clearly more pragmatic. I mean, that's definitely something that we're seeing, you know, after watching her for many years. You know, I'll give you an example. There's one very powerful businessman. His name is Zaza. In fact, you know, it's very likely that he'll become the most powerful tycoon in the new Myanmar. He's also very much identified as a crony by Washington. He's under sanctions. He was close to the retired dictator Tan Shui. Last year, Zaza was photographed seated next to Suu Kyi at a soccer game. He is the chairman of the soccer league, and he invited her to the game, and she accepted as his guest. So the two were seated next to each other, and they were photographed, and that photograph was, you know, it made the rounds on the internet and in some newspapers, and it sent a message to the country, not just about him, but about her too, that she is definitely more pragmatic, more aware that ultimately, to succeed in Myanmar, you need the cronies, and the cronies need her, certainly. But it's very clear that no matter what you do now in Myanmar, these guys basically have the majority of the assets. They are very clearly going to emerge as the new tycoons, as the new business leaders. You know, some of her close allies criticized her as selling out, but many more see it as a sign of how far the country has come, the kind of behind-the-scenes reconciliation that is going on. Many say this is really what Myanmar needs if it's to put its past behind it. So, you know, it's not just seen as purely selling out, or not seen as selling out, but it's seen as really a sign of the new Myanmar that these two seemingly polar opposites are actually, you know, coming together somewhat.
Well, Jason Zepp, I want to thank you, especially far past midnight in Singapore. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Jason Zepp, Southeast Asia Bureau Chief for Reuters. You can find a link to his article, An Image Makeover for Myanmar, Inc. He co-wrote it with Andrew Marshall at wordofmouthradio.org. Now coming up, a colorful description of white noise when Word of Mouth continues after a break.